Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 139 for April 6th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
It's a very, very complex whiskey, but it's very open. So it's saying to you, drink me, but you say, hold on a minute.
That's Ronnie Cox of the Glenrothes, and the whiskey with the ability to talk is the rare Glenrothes 1975 vintage. Ronnie was pouring that one at Whiskey Live New York this past week, and I'll have more highlights from the evening later on. First, though, let's look at the news. Last month, I reported the retirement of Jimmy Bedford, the veteran master distiller at Jack Daniel's. Jimmy's final day was last Monday, and that's the same day Brown-Forman named his successor. 41-year-old Jeff Arnett becomes only the seventh master distiller at Jack Daniel's since 1866. He's been working at the distillery for just 7 years, but caught the eye of Jimmy and other distillery managers as a potential successor a couple of years ago. The Tennessean reports it wasn't until Jimmy announced his retirement that Jeff was offered the job, though. Now comes the hard part. He's already inheriting Jimmy's travel schedule, if not Jimmy's frequent flyer miles. Jeff's first appearance for Jack Daniel's was Friday night at Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest in Chicago. You may never have heard of the Taylor family in Banffshire, Scotland, but chances are they've had a hand in making your Scotch whiskey unique. The Taylors own Speyside Cooperage, which has been building casks for the last 60 years, and now the family has decided to sell the company. Douglas Taylor told the Scotsman he and his brother decided to sell because there were no other family members who wanted to take over when they retire. They found another family to take over the business, Francois Frere's Tonnerie of France, which has been making wine casks in France for nearly 100 years. The global economic slowdown is starting to affect the whiskey industry. Scottish officials released 2007 export data Thursday, and while Scotch whiskey exports rose 3% for the year, they actually fell by 8% during the final 3 months of the year. Time now for a look at the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. First, here's a correction. In the past several episodes, I've listed dates for the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's U.S. chapter dinners in Dallas and Atlanta. I was working off a preliminary schedule that was later changed. The Dallas event was actually this past Thursday night, and the Atlanta event will be held this coming Thursday, April 10th. The mistake was mine. I apologize for the confusion. Moving ahead now, the Glenlivet City Links Tour moves on to Denver starting April 22nd through May 2nd. The West Coast Whiskey Association's annual exhibition is April 26th in Trollhättan, Sweden. The Whiskey Fair in Limburg, Germany is April 26th and 27th. The first Whiskey Live Strasbourg will be held in Strasbourg, France on the 28th. The Spirit of Speyside Festival is May 1st through the 5th in Dufton, and tickets went on sale this week for the Spirit of Toronto Festival, May 10th. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla at laphroaig.com. The last few days have been filled with whiskey events all over the U.S. I figure I could have racked up several thousand frequent flyer miles and been strip searched at least four times if I'd tried to hit just the big three, the Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco last weekend, Whiskey Live New York last Wednesday night, and Whiskey Fest in Chicago Friday night. I settled for Whiskey Live, no frequent flyer miles, but no jet lag or strip searches, and a lot of old friends on hand. This time last year, Evan Katanak of Diageo's Classic Malts series told us about the new Singleton of Glendolen. It's about to receive more widespread distribution after a year of test marketing.
Two markets, New Jersey and Illinois at the moment. Very, very well received. It's a lovely whiskey, after all. Yeah. It's a lovely early evening whiskey. It's something that people can just come home to, sit down and relax. And then once they develop the taste for it, they're away. Any event that I've ever done with the Singleton has been absolutely fantastically received. Yeah, it's, whether it's out in New Jersey or whether it was up in Illinois, would have done them. And tonight, here, you know, people are loving it. So it's great.
The Singleton of Glendolen will be available in New York soon and other markets in coming months. It's the U.S. version of the Singleton range, which includes the Singleton of Glen Ord in Asian markets and the Singleton of Dufton in Europe. Turning now to the independent bottlers, there are several new expressions in the Scott's Selection range coming out soon. Brian Dvorat of Scott's and the Speyside gives us an update.
We've got some incredible offerings that I have not even been able to taste yet. I'm anxious and dying to try. Of course, we've got another, because we've already sold through, the Coela, the Highland Park, and the Macallan. But the new Macallan that's coming is going to be, if I'm correct, an 18-year-old sherry barrel. First time for us in a while on a sherry barrel there. The Avalora, if I'm correct, is going to be a bourbon barrel. Another new one into the chain. And then we're going to have a, let's see, the Macallan. We're going to have a new Glenlivet 71 sherry barrel again. So these are all new areas. And I'm thankful, but we're actually getting people to try. And they're tasting our product either as a result of, you know, people hearing about us through you and amongst other people, or through attending a seminar and things like that, of why to try an independent bottler's single malt.
And this is a case of where you guys are really just a bunch of single malt fanatics that got together to start doing bottling work, right?
Well, what Mr. Scott really was, Mr. Scott was our first distillery master at the Speyside Distillery. So in addition to doing that duty, he went around sourcing barrels and laid them in Glasgow at our bottling plant. So there you are. It's one individual barrel of you know, different distilleries that he had handpicked, and it's continued on since. And, of course, excuse me, our owners that are very well involved in it, and Andrew Shand, our distillery master, he does a lot of the handpicking himself of what is ready to go to bottling, etc.
By the way, the Speyside has had its certification renewed as the only kosher Scotch whiskey for another year. And it wouldn't be a whiskey festival without the one and only Ewan Shand of Duncan Taylor. Last time we heard from Ewan, he'd finished up the environmental impact review for the distillery he's hoping to build in Huntley.
We got the planning through in January, the final planning, so we're now waiting for a number of things to happen. And, you know, we need to get some of this European grant aid for our distillery, because it's an all-green distillery, and we're waiting for some things to happen there. Because, you know, we can't build it without this grant aid. We can't afford it unless we get the grant aid. So we've got to hang around, and, you know, if they don't give us it, then we're not going to build it.
So it may still fall through in theory.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, it'll fall through if they don't give us a grant aid.
What can people do to help you get that grant aid? Who should we lobby?
Oh, I think all the regional selective grants that we've applied for. So it's a European Union. We need to get our local. What should I say here?
What's going on the whiskey front?
Let's keep off the grant aid stuff. The whiskey front's good. It's we've got a few new releases coming out in the rarest of the rare, Dead Distilleries. So we've got some really interesting things happening there. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but we've got four whiskies that we've never had before about to be released. So, yeah, we've got some good stuff.
But you're not going to tell me what distillery?
Well, not yet, because we're just putting the whole thing together, and we need to tell our distributors so they know what's going on. I mean, this is just happening now, so. But I will tell you. Phone me up someday, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'm not being coy. I know. Things close to my chest.
Anything else new on the release front that you can talk about?
We've got a quartercasks.com, which is our new website that's we're releasing octaves and quarter casks, and that helps us to you know, raise money for our distillery project as well, because we're trying to do the whole distillery thing within our own sort of financial confines, as you might say. And we've released quartercasks.com, and you can buy up to 60 different whiskies on our website. and you can buy them in denominations of octaves or quarters or hogsheads or, you know, butts or whatever.
You have to buy the whole cask?
Well, that's the reason why we've done them, you know, octaves, because there's 70 bottles in an octave and it's affordable. Not everybody can afford to buy a cask with 400 bottles in it. So we're very competitive. We're doing it through our worldwide distributors, so they participate as well. And if you want to buy a cask, and you want to buy a cask that's a bar top thing as well, we don't sell the cask, you know, the cask that's matured in Scotland, but we can sell you another cask with a stainless steel liner in it if you want to take the whiskey and pour it in there. We abide by the Scotch Whiskey Association rules, of course, so we won't ship anything in cask outside Scotland.
Give me an example of what an octave would cost, or what might be available in an octave and what it would cost.
Well, if you look at the site, we've got everything on there from you know, Aberlours and the likes through to very old Macallans, 40-year-old Macallans. It can range from £500 through to £50,000. Depends what you want, the rarity of the whiskey and the age of the whiskey and the quality of the whiskey. You as the buyer can select. So it's there for the taking. And we're very transparent. You can come and see it. You can come and taste it and before you buy it.
And you'll find a link to quartercasks.com at the Whiskey Cast website. One of the rare expressions being poured at Whiskey Live New York, a Tom and Tool 40-year-old, available only through Jonathan Goldstein at Park Avenue Liquors in New York City.
The Tom and Tool 40, we got exclusive through our reps at Gordon McPhail. It's a very, very dark whiskey, but if you can imagine that, it's all bourbon cask. 40 years old, cask strength, $260. It's been flying off the shelf, less than 50 bottles left, and very, very smooth, very full of life. For a 40-year-old whiskey, it's very surprising.
And like you said, you only have a few bottles left of this.
Very few. Out of the approximately 200 or so bottles, we're down to less than 50.
So if somebody wants to move on this, they need to do it quickly.
They should act fast.
What else you got in terms of new exclusives coming in?
We're working on some things from Old Pulteney, Bowmore, and Glen Farkless. But we're still in the preliminary stages of that.
And I'll keep you posted as those releases become available. By the way, Park Avenue is the only U.S. retailer with a bottling from the Compass Box Canto series. Now, probably the rarest whiskey poured that night was at the Glenrothes table, where Ronnie Cox had one bottle of the Glenrothes 1975. A few weeks ago, Ronnie was named the Whiskey Ambassador of the Year at Whiskey Magazine's annual Icons of Whiskey Awards.
It's a wonderful accolade to get given something for a passion that I've had all my life, basically. And it's very nice of other people in the industry to have given me that.
Now, tell me about the 1975, because we were trying to hook up on that one when it first came out, and we didn't get a chance to talk, but tell me about this one.
Well, the 1975 is one of those rare whiskies that we actually found. It wasn't cultivated for making into a single malt. We found enough cask to be able to put together something that came out, developed into something extraordinary. Now, of the 70s, we've only got two left, the 1975 and the 1978. The 1975 is now no more. There was very little of it. There was too little of it. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. There was too little of it. So it's now all been sold out. It was quickly sold out in a matter of weeks, really. And the next one that's coming out, and the very last of the 70s, is 1978. The 75 is just a wonderful dram, which I'll give you a sample of. Right now. So let's just talk through this for a second. You know, Glenrothes is typified for its citrus notes, and here you'll probably get much more sort of rich, treacly orange marmalade notes, sort of black marmalade notes. That's on the nose, with lots of lovely spices coming through, wafting through. It's a very, very complex whiskey, but it's very open. So it's saying to you, drink me, but you say, hold on a minute, because there's a lot more there than meets the nose to start off with. Just wait a couple of seconds, swirl it around. although you might be getting sort of almonds and lovely sort of cooked pears coming through as well.
I get some nutmeg in it too.
Nutmeg, and you'll definitely find lots of nutmeg and cinnamon on the end, on the palate, back palate. But on the middle palate, you'll find the typically creamy Glenrothes, and then a lovely, long, lingering aftertaste. You don't want to put too much water with this one, because as you know, Mark, older whiskies tend not to swim too well, right? It's like us old people, like me anyway. It's 95. Any people could hear what we are drinking. It's difficult to put into words, but that wonderful, creamy, flowing silkiness in the palate is something which we like to replicate time and time again with Glenrothes, but it's not always possible. But with older whiskies, it tends to be there the whole time, if you select the casks well.
It becomes very aromatic after. It sort of explodes a little bit on the tongue afterwards.
It has that lovely buttery feel on entry, and then suddenly the roof of the mouth gives a sort of starburst, what I call a starburst. So you get all these lovely Christmas cakey flavours, cinnamon, dates, and lots of spices in there, lots of different spices too.
And this is not going to be available much longer, if at all, right?
Well, it seems to be very popular today. Luckily, the price is one of the limiting factors, so it's not going to fly off the shelves. But we haven't got much of it left, and obviously it's all in the States and one or two other countries, but not in the UK.
UK gets the 78, right?
UK gets the 78. They're on the 78 now.
Tell me about the 78 for those folks.
Well, the 78 is a slightly different dram. I'm not one really in promoting these as the best of the best, but at Whiskey Live in a blind tasting, it came out as the best Bayside just before Christmas. Or just after Christmas it was. And that is a reflection really of it, because it totally blind tasting. Nobody knew what it was. And what happens with a lot of the older whiskies, provided that you get the balance of sherry with reused sherry correct, you're going to get a lovely depth, which is what we got with the 1978. Now, the 78, slightly longer in the palate, so it's a slightly longer style, slightly lighter style than the 1975, which is a much richer, fuller style. Very different, but very 70s.
And that's one of the few things from the 70s that I'd like to see more of. That's just a sample of the evening, and if you've never been to a whiskey festival, it's something you really should try. I'd like to thank the listeners who pulled me over for a handshake and a hello, and if you see me at a festival in the future, I hope you'll do the same. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. And you'll find links, the calendar of events, the Whiskey Cast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the Whiskey Cast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.